Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. Speaking of HVU, with us, Executive Director of Football, Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week?
Doing good. Staying warm, at least trying to stay warm. The feels like the other day was negative 17, which is insane.
It is. And you know what, Mike? As you get older, trust me on this, it does not get better. It only gets worse. And I always say, come winter, once it hits February, that's when I'm ready to just throw in the towel. I am done with winter.
I know. But the good thing is when it turns 35 or 40, I'm gonna have my short sleeve tank top on.
same here. I can't wait for it. But anyway, let's move forward with some football. Last week, Mike, was the official signing day, but probably even more importantly, we had Coach Matt Campbell meet the media, a very extended press conference, and he had a lot of interesting things to say that I'd like to ask you about. Just first of all, your overview of the press conference, and again, not as a negative about Coach Franklin, but just contrast the styles for me of the two of them in meeting with the media like this.
I think what I see is like Coach Franklin had a different approach how he attacked these type of things. I think he was very calculated in how he wanted to go into these things. There was, you know, meetings prior to the conferences, making sure that, you know, points that are going to be asked are aligning with how he wants. I just think there's a lot of prep in it. And I think Coach Campbell just seems more kind of off the hoof, like just coming to him as he's hearing it, almost like seems like the first time, which kind of makes it sound like, I don't know, more genuine at times.
It does. There's that tone there. But here's one interesting little thing. I don't know if you took note of this. With James Franklin, in fact, it became a talking point for a lot of folks in the media, how many times he would use the word obviously.
Yeah, I saw that. Didn't he open it up with obviously?
Well, do you want to guess how many times Matt Campbell used the word obviously in this press conference?
Four.
16.
It's a popular word when you do these things.
I think just the nature of it, the word comes up a lot. I'm waiting now to see who in the media, besides myself, is going to start counting that. I was listening to it, and I caught it, and a couple of them, and I just wondered, wait a minute, is he saying that a lot? Let me check it, and I went to the transcript of it. And no, I didn't scan through it. I used this search and, you know, find it. So anyway, so he did. There was a lot to what he said. One of the first things he said that really struck me is there's a certain humility to Matt Campbell and how he presents things. And right up front, one of the things he said, the reality is he didn't have all the answers. And for coaches who oftentimes, it seems, want to just express that no matter what happens, they have the answer, they're always ready. I found it interesting that he came right out and said, you know what? No, I don't. I don't have all the answers, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people, especially, I feel like when you show that humility and that you're not a know-it-all and you're not the smartest person in the room, I think people are attracted to that. You know, because it shows that you're human. It's okay to be human. And yeah, I think Joe Pa, in one of his first books, he says, and he talks about how it didn't matter how old he was, he always wanted to be learning something. You know, even when he built Penn State to what it was, he was always wanting to learn something. And I think, you know, you hear that from time to time when coaches speak, and usually those coaches that are like that are pretty successful. Because kids, families, fans, they gravitate to that, you know, the human element part of it.
That's a good point, that it's just human being to human being. You know, another part of the quote was, I kind of came in, and again, I think sometimes you could have a sense of ego and entitlement sometimes in coaching. And, you know, to just right up front say, it's a learning process going through, because it's going to be different. He's no longer coaching in the Big 12. He's now in the Big 10. There's things to be learned there. And another part of the press conference, just speaking of that, I think it was when he was talking about Dontan Lynn's defense, and he talked about being able to adapt, and that even in the Big 12, where he said, gee, we were set up to defend these high-flying offenses like you hear in the Big 12. Next thing you know, teams are using 12 and 13 formations, two and three tight ends, and we found ourselves having to adapt on the fly. So that's part of coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing too, you know, my conversations with Derek Hoosier, the GM, it's, you know, figuring out, you know, the collective and navigating through a different ecosystem when it comes to NIL and there's everybody that's involved in it. There's a lot more people involved, and it's just structured differently. So, you know, I think Derek's doing a good job and the staff of adapting to the new system, as well as, you know, just trying to get their arms around it to exactly how they want it. Because, like, look, Coach Campbell and Derek, they were able to build their own collective, you know, in-house from the ground up. So, I mean, it was very black and white. They knew exactly what they had with the collective, what they didn't have with the collective. Versus now you have all these different buckets of money that are going back to the NIL, and you got to be able to manage that with, you know, activation, third-party money versus revenue money. It's a lot, but kudos to, you know, them handling it so far. The transition's been really good, but dealing with those things, you don't expect those things, right? So those are just some of the things that you got to come into any job, and there's going to be a learning curve. Staff, people, building, structure, all that. It's a ton.
Well, and adding to it, one of the things that you and I have talked about, and it was interesting, we heard it from Matt Campbell also, the exact quote is, we cannot be willing to just take talent without character. He's looking for something more than just talented players.
Yeah, that, and I just think that is a message, just not for Penn State, but I think a message you're going to hear consistently throughout football, college football, because with the times now, these kids are getting wired, no fault of their own, but just the way that the system is, they're getting wired to up and leave right away when things are hard, right? So that's why character and loving the game of football is so important to not just Matt Campbell, but a lot of coaches around the country, because it's going to be hard. No matter what you do, what kind of money you throw at them, there's no promise that this thing's going to be easy once they get on this path. That's never changed. The money's changed, right? But what hasn't changed is how you win and how you develop. And that's hard work. That's going through adversity. That hasn't changed. So you need to recruit people with character. And usually, you know, it's their family. They usually, you know, have good heads on the shoulder. But they got to love football, because they're going to hit adversity right when that first week that they get on campus. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week. So his philosophy that he's been following for years as a head coach is actually timing up really well for his time in Penn State and in the current landscape of college football.
Has that, Mike, that idea of character, has it become more critical? Let me express the theory to you. You know, the blue chip ratio thing. You had to have better than 50% of your players be blue chip players, which meant either 4 or 5 star players, if you wanted to win a national championship. Well, that completely got blown up, blown to smithereens by Indiana, who literally had just 8 players, okay, that were considered blue chip. And not only won a national championship, Mike, they dominated the season. They were the best team in the country start to finish this past year with, you know, not even 10 blue chip players playing against some teams with more than 50 of them. So has this whole transfer portal NIL thing actually placed more emphasis on that character and culture idea?
Yeah, I think that's piece definitely a big piece of it, right? But there's a lot in that goes into it, I think, too. Like, again, like it's getting that old school archaic, all right, he's a blue chip mindset and that philosophy, and it's turning into really kind of diving into development and the evaluation of these kids. It's different. Like you say, people say, well, yeah, Indiana didn't have any blue chips when, okay, but there were 24, 25 year olds on that roster. So those 24, 25 year olds, yeah, okay, they weren't blue chips 6 years ago prior to that national championship game. There were a lot of 3 stars, 2 stars, went D2, went FCS, and then made their way up and developed into what you would consider a blue chip now. But they don't do that. Like the recruiting service, they don't retroactively go back and say, yeah, we didn't know what he was gonna be because he was a 3-star. If they don't know about a kid, they slap a 3-star on the kid, right? But then they want to talk about the 5 stars. I think I heard a stat the other day. All right, as far as the 22 starters in this Super Bowl, I don't think there was 1 5-star.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think I heard that. Now, I'm not to like bang on that, but it's just like, let's get out of that mindset, right? It's about evaluations, right? It's about the kid's ceiling and how much room they have room to develop from mentally a standpoint and also from a standpoint physically. Like you got to take in the factor all of that, right? If you take in factor the kind of kids that Coach Campbell has taken in the past and how they have developed and turned into pros, Brock Purdy's of the world, the running back with the Jets, Breesy, like all of these guys, right? We're actually going to do a piece on a lot of the recruiting guys that they've found and turned gems into. They're turning the lower recruited guys into gems.
All right, and we're going to talk more about all of this when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective, servicing over 800 student-athletes in 31 sports at Penn State. With us, Executive Director of HVU, Mike Villagrana. Mike, you were talking about some data on 5 stars, no 5 stars in the Super Bowl. I want to give you a gym stat, okay? As I lose my earpiece here, let me get it back in. I did this research a few years ago. This was prior to the NIL and the transfer portal blowing up the way it has. And I wondered what it meant to get a 5-star, specifically a 5-star quarterback. So I had to go back 7 years of history to find 15 5-star quarterbacks. Do you know that the bust ratio was over 50%. As far as college players, forget NFL careers. Over half of the five-star quarterbacks were a bust as far as college football went. And like I said, this was before the portal. Over half of them transferred. This was back when transferring meant things didn't work out with your first school.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say, hey, five-star, you know, that's totally irrelevant. But you were talking about evaluating the players that come in through the portal. All of a sudden, instead of just having information about their high school career, you have two or three more years of data points from the from these players playing somewhere else. We talked about Mendoza, how lightly recruited he was coming out of high school. Now he's a Heisman Trophy winner and ready to be the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, credit to Cignetti for figuring that out and bringing him in.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be more and more of these guys that pop up. I mean, look at Ole Miss, Trinidad. I mean, he was what, Ferris State or something like that. Something crazy.
And then someplace I had never heard of.
Yeah, but he had really good production. He had really good tape. And obviously, must have done really well on the phone when they talked to the kid. Must have known his X and O. So it's like all those things taken into account. So instead of going through, all right, what's on 3 or 247 doing? They Ole Miss and these front offices now, they have a system, literally a system, a front office, just like we do, that is in charge of evaluating college tape now. Right. Because like I said in previous calls, I was at Virginia Tech when we were just starting to talk about what the process is going to look like for anybody that has X amount of snaps. We need an evaluation on. Right. So we were just starting that. Ole Miss, and I think it's, you know, in the public, it stated that, you know, they kind of were ahead of the game with that and they started that. And now everybody's doing it. Everybody, you know, we have Quigley. You know, he's in charge of college scouting. Like, that's his job. And everybody has either one or two of those guys that are in charge of that. So it's a really big thing, you know, finding those guys. And you have to have a good evaluation process in place. And, you know, just like we do now, most of the teams around the country have some kind of process that is evaluating and IDing every single player in the country.
Well, let me ask you just how far that actually goes. So I assume every player who plays for a Power Four team, is it every player group of five?
Oh, well, I think it depends. I'm sure it's everybody with, like, because, I mean, FCS players, that is a great pool to go to. So, like, you're looking at snaps, anybody over a certain amount of snaps there. It's really kind of easy. Like, another thing that part of our process was looking at, like, weekly accolades at FCS level and,
yeah,
and even like NI, like, all levels where we were starting to scout. And we were kind of a little bit behind on it, I think. But, yeah, like, you're looking at everybody. And to have that process, it's a huge, huge mission, because not only it's a mission to recruit the entire country, right? From a high school player standpoint, now you got to add all the evaluations for college. Like, it's a big task, but that's why these front offices are as big as they are now.
Well, I guess too, if you look at it that way, when you mention, no matter how many colleges there are, there's fewer of them than there are high schools. So if you're looking at every, you know, potentially looking at every player in high school, it is at least a finite number in college, but it's in addition to what you used to have to do, which was essentially just high school recruiting.
Yeah, so high school recruiting, we used to divvy it up in pods. So really the first priority was we had a certain team tasked to just the position, right? And then the second priority may be that position or that area coaches area. But a position took priority. But then when it went to when we started implementing college scouting, we started divvying up by conferences. And so the bigger the conference, the more talent in a particular conference, all, you know, subjective. But then we maybe have one or two more in those more big, those bigger, like an SEC. If we're scouting the SEC, we probably need more eyes and bigger team for the SEC versus like, I don't know, was Youngstown State still in the Gateway conference? But you know what I mean? Like, or the Sky.
Yeah.
But that's how we started divvying it up. But every place has their own way of divvying it up some way.
Well, and I think there's some obvious standouts when you, in some ways, it's probably a little easier looking at those smaller schools, because if there's going to be real talent that belongs in the Power Four level, it's probably pretty easy to see in those smaller schools. Someone will stand out even more obviously than they might in the Southeast Conference.
That's right. That's right. So,
well, let's get back to Matt Campbell again in his press conference, because again, there was so much to it. Once more, he addressed the history of Penn State, and it just feels like there's a great respect that he has for the history, which in some ways may have been missing over the last decade or so, and for various reasons. But here was the quote that I pulled out. He used the expression, "Our greatest gift here at Penn State is those that came before us." That's, for us old timers, Mike, that's a great quote.
Yeah, but it's true. All right, that's why this place is the place that it is. It's why it's the place that I fell in love with when growing up in Youngstown, Ohio. And just like Coach Campbell, growing up and looking up to like the Kyle Brady's of the world, you know, and then like doing your research and finding out how Penn State became what it was and what it is now. I don't know if there's a richer history, at least in my mind, around the country. And to see, like, to see where Penn State was, right? We can pull you and Chris, the historians, in, but like when you look at like the start of, what did Coach Joe Paul call it? The blueprint, or the great experiment?
The grand experiment. Yeah, the great experiment. Grand
experiment to like what it is now. It's crazy. And like a lot of things. And obviously, I didn't go to Penn State, but I just, you know, being here, working here for 3 years and now back and growing up on Penn State in the Joe Pa era, like I have just the biggest amount of respect for the players that played here and came through here, the people that came through here. So like, it's just, I don't know, it's just a different place, special to me. And everybody that loves Penn State obviously correlates the history with Penn State, right? So and I'll use the word obviously, that was missing in the previous years with Coach Franklin. Just wasn't big on talking about it. And I know a lot of people felt a certain way about that. So it's nice that, you know, Coach Campbell's coming in here, not trying to do it on purpose because Coach Franklin didn't do it, but just he literally has a respect for the history, which, you know, if anybody knows the history of how Joe Pa and everybody prior to got this place to where it is, it's impossible not to have an immense amount of respect for the history of the school.
Well, I think also for us old timers, when we see a statement, we can't be willing to just take talent without character. It raises memories of my favorite expression from the old time era was success with honor. And there were the teams that, you know, won national championships or had undefeated seasons. And I'm not sure how much the recruiting services, they certainly weren't as in-depth as they are today. But, you know, Penn State goes into a national championship game against Miami, which was just littered with, you know, All-American types, NFL players. And it was the team with more character and teamwork that came out successful. So that's what hits Penn State fans, at least us old timers, Mike.
Yeah. And you know what's cool too is like hearing some of the old timers that, have been here forever. And I had specifically, I had a conversation with somebody that's been here forever. Dad, his family's play is like, he's like fourth, fifth generation. And I was telling him about, you know, my first impression of Coach Campbell when he was talking to the recruits and just like all everything that we're talking about, right? It's like, it's the character over athleticism. It's the love of football, right? It's just the full transparency about, hey, this is going to be hard. No bells and whistles. You know, it's still about the degree. And, you know, that person goes back to me and says, man, I'm hearing the same stuff. And a lot of this stuff is what Joe Pa used to say, like these little things. So that like kind of hit me talking to like an OG that's resonating with him. I was like, man, that's pretty cool. And that's going to get a lot of people excited, especially the people that, you know, are very loyal to Joe Pa, rightfully so. And there's a lot of them.
There really are. And that's what Penn State fans grew up with. That's what we learned growing up. All right, Mike, that's just about it for quarter number two. When we come back, Matt Campbell had some interesting things to say about the quarterback position in general and Rocco Beck specifically. I'm going to ask you about that when we return.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director at HVU. This is quarter number three of our show. Mike, I teased it when we finished up segment number two. Matt Campbell had some interesting things to say about Rocco Beck and also the quarterback position in general. The quote that I really took away from that is this: I feel that the quarterback and the head football coach have to be tied at the hip. I feel like they've got to be tied at the hip because their leadership is so critical to the entirety of the football program. You and I have talked about how important that quarterback position is. You got to get it right. It really tells me that right from the get-go, Matt Campbell really wanted Rocco Beck to be his quarterback here.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that talks about Rocco Beck talks about him at the highest regard. And that's what you want. Like, put aside the talent, because talent's great. Like, you need to have somebody that's going to follow you. And if you don't have that, then you're going to be struggling, especially with your quarterback position. And there's the fake, like, there's the kids out there that I'll put like Carson, like a Beck, like a Carson Beck. Is he really the leader that Mendoza was, right? Are you seeing Mendoza like on a boat in South Florida with like the Cavalier twins or whatever, you know, or like going through some like social media blimps or, you know what I mean? Like, that guy has to be a dude on and off the field. And when you have somebody like that, like the character of Rocco Beck, immediately everybody's going to follow a guy like that, especially coming in with his resume. With the number of snaps, the most experienced player returning in college football next year, it's awesome. And so then you combine that with the character things that he has. I think you can't be nothing but excited about Rocco Beck moving forward. So yeah, I'm excited to see those guys work out. I'm excited to see, like, I always look at quarterbacks differently. I always do. Like, I always like look at it and I'm like, man, does this guy have it? I always talk about it. Like Pat White had it where like it didn't matter what he said or did, you were following that dude. He was a leader, right? Hack is the same way. Trace, same way. Like those guys, you just know they have it. It's almost like walking a tight line of being overconfident and cocky to just being confident in who you are. So then whatever you say or how you want to things roll, everybody's going to follow you, because what they're saying is coming from Coach Campbell and top down, right? So he's the mouthpiece for Coach Campbell. Having a guy like that, knowing that if something is array or something needs fixed, maybe a small fire within the team, you know that guy's going to go get it fixed in the locker room. You don't need Coach Campbell or the strength coach, you know, going and trying to find out and have everybody have a kumbaya. Having your leader, the quarterback, like Rocco, handling all that, you could spend $8 million on a guy like that.
Real quick, Mike, because we do have some young listeners here who are going to say, Pat White, who's that? My reaction to that is, look him up, Google him. You played with Pat White at West Virginia, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, my only catch and only touchdown was from Pat White, 1 yard reception. Did not have to throw it to me, but he did. So I'm very happy. So I'm biased, but no, but no, actually my best friend, at that time was, the quarterback that, Pat ended up taking, over for, but there's just something, and not just Pat, but like again, like a Trace, top of my mind. There's just guys that they're dudes, they're alpha males. And everybody in college football, there's a ton of testosterone, and these guys think they're the biggest and the baddest. But there's really only true alphas in that locker room. And if you have a true alpha that's not sending the right message, that could hurt the whole team. But if you have a true alpha that's the quarterback, like a Rocco with that experience, huge for the coaching staff and the culture.
It is. And you mentioned his experience. I saw this number. He's actually started 39 games already in college as a quarterback. 39 games.
It's crazy. And he had the game across seas last season against Kansas State.
Yes. Yes. I remember that game. But what I saw recently was the highlight of a game. I think it was against Central Florida, where he actually threw two pick sixes, but still came back to win the game, scored a late touchdown. They were down 5 points. They're fourth and goal or on the 1 yard line. They just put it in his hands to get into the end zone. And then when they had to go for 2 points, call a quarterback draw again, put it in his hands to win the game. And you got to respect that. That's the guy who's the winner. That's, you know, that's Trace McSorley. That's, I don't know how much your memory of Michael Robinson is from Penn State at quarterback.
Michael Robinson, yeah, 100%. I remember using him in the video game. Loved
him. He was a guy you put the game, you know, on his shoulders at the end. He will find a way to win for you. Maybe my favorite quarterback at Penn State. I'm not saying the best quarterback, but my favorite quarterback, because he would find a way to win.
Those are my favorite quarterbacks. Those are my favorite quarterbacks. Like I've been around so many quarterbacks that have the pure talent and have like the physical attributes, but they don't have it when the lights go on, right? When the bullets are flying, when things get tough, you know, when the line maybe is struggling or the running backs are struggling with blocking and assignments, like, gosh, having that guy is huge, huge to be able to rally the troops and say, you know, shut the F up. This is what we're doing. This is how we're going to move forward. And everybody follows. But if you don't have that, nobody's going to follow.
Exactly. And when you have that at that quarterback position, that is so important. So it was really fascinating to hear that from Matt Campbell and talking about Rocco Beck. It got me excited about seeing him play. What was also interesting, and I'll tie that in, is he was asked about some of the staff that was retained and talked about, you know, obviously Terry Smith, and now I'm using the word obviously, Mike, see, it gets catchy, but Terry Smith, but also Dan Connor and Trace McSorley that he commented on. And his first comment about Dan Connor was, I spoke to him for 2 minutes and I knew he had it. And then when talking about Trace McSorley, said, boy, he reminds me of Rocco Beck. And that's got to make Penn State fans excited. If you got a quarterback coming up who reminds you of Trace McSorley, that's a very good thing, Mike.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign, too, to know that that's how he's recruiting, too. Right? That's the kind of guys he's looking for. He's looking for Trace McSorley's, who's committed to Vanderbilt and everybody wanted to play safety. Now, I've seen this kid live. I've seen him play. I see what he does with the court. I see what he does with the ball. I've seen how he is on the sidelines. The dude's a winner, right? That's what you're looking for. That's what we're looking for, not stars and bogus ratings because they did something cool at a Rivals combine. Sick. All right. What do they do when the lights are on, right? And what are they doing when things are tough, you know, in games? How are they commanding the field? You know, how are they interacting with the coaches? Like all that stuff when it comes to quarterback position, and not just quarterback, but that's really big for that position, but every position. That is critical nowadays, finding out the core of these kids. Is it money or is it for the love of the game? If it's for the love of the game, then they have a chance. But if it's not, then – to me, those are landmines. I used to call them all the time. You know, like a four-star, like somebody that's a four-star, but he stinks. Right? It's a landmine right there, guys. Promise you that's going to come up in the staff meeting because he's a four-star. I'm not just talking to Penn State, just in general. But because he's in-state four-star, but he stinks. So we got to make sure that we entertain taking him because he's in-state and he's a four-star. That stuff is going out the window. Like, it's about winning. And so to have in your evaluation process and to even consider ratings is reckless.
Well, and that's the thing. And it's a good message to have at this point in time in the whole recruiting world. Penn State just got done losing a in-state five-star recruit, Kamen Spell, running back. He had at one point been committed to Penn State, decommitted when James Franklin left, re-engaged with Penn State. He made a commitment to Georgia. Is it Max Hiller, the interior offensive lineman, also considered a five-star out of Pennsylvania? Well, he narrowed it down. He narrowed his choices down to four schools, did not include Penn State in it. And Mike, it's not to disparage those players because they apparently won't pick Penn State because there's a long time between now and commitment day also, but it's not time to panic as a Penn State fan.
No. And again, it's the rating stars world that makes people panic. Right. And that's fine. I get it, but we're just like, the entire landscape of college football is evolving. This is part of the evolution as well. It's Kamen Spell is barely knows the new staff, right? But the staff did a phenomenal job of trying to get him back on campus, getting back in his decision-making without having a product on the field, right, at Penn State, right? Everything, like, places I've been, like, people want to see, like, again, five stars, like once you get a new head coach, the five stars just start coming. That's not how it works, especially now with college football. There's bottom lines. Is he the right fit? Is there a relationship between the head coach, the position coach, and the staff with that kid, right? Well, if you go down that, this staff, Coach Campbell, Derek Hoosier, and the staff, they've had basically, what, 3 weeks to try to get to know these kids, right? It's a long time.
It really is. All right, we've got lots more to talk about when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director at HVU. It's quarter number four of our show. And Mike, I had to cut you off there as we were hitting the end of a segment. We were talking about recruiting and the work it takes when you're a new coach coming in already in such a short time. Matt Campbell and his staff, they had to retain what they could of the current players, bring in portal players, try to do something in 26. And now, just now after all of that, have to look forward to the next recruiting class.
Crazy. That's why they get paid the big bucks. But I would say, before we had a break, I was talking about Spell and the 27s and the Hiller kid not being in the top five or whatever. For me and staffs, when you got a kid the caliber from a rating standpoint, and I will say with Keemon and Hiller, they are five stars. Trust me, I'm not saying that they're not. They're legit five stars, and they will have immediate impacts to whatever program they go to, which says a lot even more about Hiller, in my opinion, because he's in the trenches. But the problem with this at the beginning is if these guys commit right now, the caliber player that they are, it is a pain in the butt to keep these guys. It is a day in, day out stressor with the staff. Oh, who's he talking to today? Oh, did you hear that he may be going to Notre Dame this weekend? Oh, Ohio State's still talking to him. Oh, he called. He wants to take a visit to Miami. Well, that is a stressor on the staff versus the other side of it, which a lot of times happens, is you get these high caliber kids that commit. But then those people that are knocking at the door, they just keep knocking, they keep knocking, they keep knocking. And then finally, that kid opens the door, or maybe it's a cousin that opens the door, or it's a parent or an agent that opens the door. And then we come right in, and then we do our deal. And then we potentially scoop that particular player from that team. That's how it happens to every team, every team. On signing day or leading up to signing day, a team comes out of nowhere as the next leader because they were able to put a package together or something enticing for that player versus the school that they're committed to. Every team. And also, you got to think about this too. These players, Max Hiller, yeah, is he going to be an impactful player? Yeah, but there's a chance he might not be that first year. And I think I heard Pantone, the GM for Ohio State. There was a good piece on him this past week talking about how it's changing, like your roster construction and how they got to build a department, because you got to look at the evaluation process long term, because you're going to sit on dead money if you bring in a Max Hiller for a year, more than likely, right? He's going to take a year to get physically and mentally prepared to compete in the trenches at the D1 level, at a high level. So you're sitting on dead money. So you got to evaluate that versus what you could get out of that money that you're potentially going to allocate to a high school player. That's a real decision for every high school player now. And that's why, like, you're seeing the the value of stars and ratings diminish, as well as it's hurting the overall high school recruitment.
Also, Mike, it's a long time till signing day, and a final answer is never a final answer. A verbal commitment's not final. We know even after you make the commitment, say it's in December, you could hit the portal in January, already move on. You could be a year into a program. You're still a free agent, able to move on. So, again, I'm never going to say that high school recruiting is irrelevant, but you have to look at it in a much different way today than you did just even 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I think the numbers will end up balancing themselves out a little bit, because the market for some of these top-tier guys, it's you're really going to hurt your roster and your spending unless you're able to, you know, really get over that cap. I think, you know, most of the big-time rosters right now are anywhere from 30 to 35 million, but you're committing a ton of money to somebody that's potentially dead money or could have gone to maybe a 23, 24-year-old guy that you know has a better chance of hitting versus a high school kid. Because high school kids, it's purely projection, right? Like with the transfers, you kind of know there's enough sample size and film out there to know what you're getting.
Well, you bring up a good point. Let's just, for sake of argument, say you've got, you know, $30 million for your roster. How do you allocate it? Are you going to put $5 million into a quarterback or a running back? How big a piece of your, you know, roster allotment does that take up? And, you know, it's allocation of those funds. Would you rather have 5 really good offensive linemen or a star quarterback or star running back or star wide receiver?
Yeah. Well, I think like most schools, so, you know, pre-NIL, that's when I was just I was in it right before I got out. It was every year. It's like it's always you revisit how many numbers you allocate per position. Right. So how many quarterbacks do you want to bring in or have on your roster? And you do that across the board at all positions. Now, it's not only that, but it's how much money you want to allocate to that room potentially. And so you put these figures over each position, and it's not like you have to stick to that number, but you like to stay around that range. So then you juggle the roster from there, right? So if you know your biggest positions, you're going to allocate $3, $4 million to the running back position, then that affects the rest of the allocation, right? So every staff does that going into this. And, you know, we have our numbers at each position, I'm assuming, and just like everybody else in the country does. So that's kind of like how you stay on track and don't pay an exorbitant amount of dollars to one position and then get the rest of your rosters out of whack. That's where the cap guys come in. And obviously with the way that we're built out, you know, we got a pretty good handle on it.
Well, also a good example of this is if you look at the NFL, who, you know, they have to allocate their money, and think about how little money they've decided you allocate to running backs. It's changing a little bit now, but for many years you wouldn't allocate lots of money nor a high draft pick to a running back, because that's something you can get later in the draft and still, you know, be happy with it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. I wanted to get back to this press conference, and I was a little bit surprised after talking about quarterback. Matt Campbell got kind of a generic question about going over the rest of the roster, and I was surprised at how far in depth he went. And he identified, he went over position by position. He talked about, you know, you and I have always been, I love tight ends, okay? And it really looks like it's going to be another great tight end room. The running back room, he talked about like Carson Henson, who came in from Iowa State. But what was interesting to me is this is what he had to say about the offensive line. I'd say the O-line, I know I didn't talk about that, I think we feel as good about the offensive line room as we do any room on the roster. To me, I was questioning offensive line.
I'm not doing that.
You're what?
I got burned last year.
Oh, okay.
I'm not doing this. I literally thought that was the best line I've ever seen in person.
I think
I thought they're going to win the Joe Moore Award.
Mike, you weren't alone. A year ago, I think you and I, everyone I talked to about it felt the same way. You had like 8 or 9 starter caliber players. You had like 4 tackles, which it's hard to even get 2 good tackles. But Mac, you don't have to say it. Matt Campbell said he was really, really happy with, and he started with the foundation of a couple returners, you know, Cooper Cousins, Anthony Donka coming back, which I thought it was interesting that he said that. I'm not sure I buy it completely, not just because of how we all missed on it last year, but it was at least encouraging, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, the roster is good. I think what people are going to find out, you know, from here till the end of spring ball, I think everybody's going to go into the summer feeling really, really good about this roster. I think from what I'm hearing inside the building, a lot of people feel good about where it's at and where, you know, we're headed for this year from a roster standpoint. So I'm really excited to get to know these guys. Like you spoke on Coop and Donk, you talk about guys that love football, right? That are all about Penn State. That those are great guys to have in our room, along with the other guys that are coming in. I've gotten to be around them a little bit. And like I said in the past, like these are big dudes. Like I thought we were had a big roster. I actually kind of want to know this. Like I bet you pound for pound from a physical standpoint, I bet you we're bigger this year than we were this previous season. I bet. Just off the hook. I don't know for a fact. I'm not trying to tee myself up.
It seems like they're bringing in some monsters for the defensive line, especially the interior defensive line, which is really nice to see. Really big guys.
But just all around, like the receiver room, like those are big featured guys. Obviously, the tight ends, those guys are monsters with Big Ben and the young kid. And then you add Rapp. Then you bring in these the linemen that we brought in. They're massive. And then the linebackers, they look like your old school like linebackers, like just big dudes, just like big. And I say big dudes, I mean like big features, like they look good. They look the par.
I'm ready for them to come out with the big pads on and the neck roll, right?
Yeah, and then I had the face mask, was the bar right down the middle.
we have got to get a picture of you in uniform back in the day, Mike. Unfortunately,
I literally thought I was Kyle Brady. I thought I had the neck roll for the 1 year, and then it was at the time where the neck roll wasn't that cool, so I went from neck roll to no neck roll.
All right, that's going to be the final word. Thanks, Mike. Thank all of you. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.